Prenatal vitamins should be started ideally before you become pregnant. But if you are just finding out that you are expecting, haven't started one yet, or are just learning your prenatal vitamins are not providing the nutrients you thought they were, it's not too late to start or switch. Needed's prenatal vitamins are packed with the vitamins, minerals, and botanicals needed for complete, comprehensive nourishment for both you and your current or future baby. Needed is amazing and are offering our listeners 20% off with code VBAC20. So you can get your prenatal vitamin and so much more at thisisneeded.com. And don't forget to type in code VBAC20 for 20% off.
Hey, 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 you guys, we're talking about midwives today. And when I say we, I mean me and Judy. I have Julie on with us today. Hello, my darling.
Hello. You know, sometimes you just gotta unmute yourself.
Her headphones were muted, you guys.
That's amazing.
I'm like, I can't hear you. Oh my gosh. Okay, you guys, guess what? This is our very first month on the VBAC link that I am bringing a special week subject week. I don't know how to say it. Every month we're going to have a week, and it's going to be usually around the second week of the month where we're going to have a specific topic for both of those episodes of the week. And this is the very first one, and it is National Midwives Week. So I thought it would be really fun this week to talk about midwives, right? We love midwives. We love them. We love them. And we're so grateful for them. And we want to talk more about the impact that they leave when it comes to our overall experience.
Yes.
The overall outcomes. And honestly, just how flipping amazing they are. We want to talk more. And then we'll share, of course, a story with a midwifery birth or midwife birth. Okay, Julie, you have a review. I'm sticking it to her today to read the review, because sometimes I feel like it's nice to switch it up.
Yeah. Let's switch it up. All right. This review, I'm assuming VBAC Encouragement is the title of the review. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
VBAC
yes.
Encouragement. Okay. It says, my first birth ended in emergency cesarean at 29 weeks, and I knew as I was being rolled into the OR that I would go for a VBAC with my next baby. Not long after, the VBAC link started and I was instantly obsessed. Oh, I love to hear that. I love the wide range of VBAC and CBAC stories. Listening to the women share honestly and openly was motivating and encouraging. As a doula, this podcast is something I recommend to my VBAC clients. I'm so thankful for the brave women sharing the good, bad, and ugly of their stories. And I'm thankful for Megan and Julie for holding space for us all. Oh, I love that.
I do too. And I love the title, VBAC Encouragement. That is what this podcast is here for, to encourage you along the way, no matter what you choose, but to bring that encouragement, that empowerment, and the information from women all over the world, literally all over the world, because you guys, we're not alone. And I know that sometimes we can feel alone. I feel like sometimes VBAC journeys you can feel isolated. And it sucks. And we don't want you to feel that way. So that's why we started the podcast. That's why I'm here. That's why Julie comes on, because she misses you and loves you all so much too. Yeah. And we want you to feel that encouragement.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Okay, you guys, we're talking about midwives. If you have never been cared for by a midwife, I think this is a really great episode to learn more about that and see if midwifery care is something that may apply to you or be something desired by you. I know that when I was going along with my VBAC journey, I didn't interview a midwife, actually. At first, I interviewed OB after OB after OB. Julie did interview a midwife, and it didn't go over very well. So
no, it was fine. It didn't feel right.
No, I know. What she said didn't make it feel mm-hmm. right, right? So I want to kind of talk about that too, though. The reason why I pointed that out is because go check out the midwives in your area.
Midwives.
The midwives.
Go check out the midwives.
Go check them out. Go check them out, really. Like, interview them, meet with them. But guess what? It's okay if it doesn't feel right, right? It's okay if everyone's like, go, go, go. You have to have a midwife. OB, no. Okay, that's not how we are here in this podcast. We're like, find the right provider for you. But I do think midwives are amazing. And I do think that they bring a different feel and experience to a birth. But even then, sometimes you can go and interview a midwife and they're not the right fit. And we're going to talk about the types of midwives. And this isn't really like a type because we're going to be talking about like CPM, DEM, LDEM, CNM. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
In hospital and out of hospital midwives.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I also want to talk about the word medwives. So we have said this in the past where we say, oh, that midwife is a medwife. And that what we mean by that is just they may be more medical minded, right? Like every midwife is different and every view is different. And like Julie was saying, in a hospital, out of hospital, you may have more of a medwife in the hospital. But guess what? I've also seen some out of hospital midwives that act more like midwives. They really, truly. So again, it goes back to finding the right person for you. But can we talk about that? The CPM or DEM? CPM is Certified Professional Midwife or Direct Entry Midwife. Right? Am I correct?
Yes. Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's really interesting because all over the world, the requirements for midwifery are different. So you're going to find different requirements in each country, right? And then in the United States, every state has its different requirements and laws surrounding midwifery care. So some states, out of hospital midwives cannot attend VBAC at all, or they can as long as it's in a birth center or, you know, XYZ.
CNMs.
So yeah, well, or sometimes, yeah, CNM is a certified nurse midwife, which is the credential that you have to have if you're going to work in a hospital. But there are some CNMs that do out-of-hospital births as well. There's CPM, which is Certified Professional Midwife, which a lot of the midwives
are out-of-hospital midwives,
are Certified Professional Midwives. That means they've taken the NARM exam, which is the National Association of Registered Midwives. So they're registered with the national, I don't know, I think it's a board, the National Association, and they've gone
Northern
through all the
America
testing.
Registry they've, of Midwives.
Yes. They've completed, you know, hundreds of births, lots and lots of hours, gone through the entire certification process, and that's certified midwife. Now, licensed midwife which is LDEM, licensed direct entry midwife, it just simply means that they hold licensure with the state. So licensed midwife and certified midwife is different. Certified means they are certified with the board. Licensed means they are licensed with the state. And usually licensed midwives can carry things like Pitocin, Methergen, antibiotics for GBS, things like that, which is what the difference is. So licensed means they can have access to these different drugs for care,
like
and
Rogam,
certified
Pitocin, certain things for the IV, taking care of like medications for hemorrhage, antibiotics.
Right.
Yes.
And then CPMs, which are certified, just so you should. Yeah. So there's arguments for both. And DEM, direct entry midwife means that they're not certified or licensed. Now that doesn't mean that they're less than. It just means that they are not bound by the rules of NARM or the state. Now, there are, again, arguments for and against all of these different types. I mean, there's pros and cons to holding certification, holding licensure, and not holding certification and not holding licensure. And each midwife has to decide which route is best for them. Mm-hmm. Certified nurse midwife obviously has access to all the drugs and all the themes. They are certified and licensed, like you could call it that. But they have to have hospital privileges if they want to deliver in a hospital. You can't just be a CNM and then show up to any hospital, any old hospital.
For yes.
Whatever. They have to be registered with that hospital. Not registered. What did I say? They have to have privileges at hospital. Yeah. They have to work and be associated with the hospital, just like an OB, right? OB has to have privileges at any hospital. They can't just walk into any old hospital and deliver a baby.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's important to kind of know the differences between your provider that you're looking at. And like she was saying, like CNM, you're going to be more likely to have that type of midwife or, you know, a certified nurse midwife in a hospital setting than you would be outside of the hospital. But sometimes there are still CNMs that have privileges and birth outside of the hospital, or, you know, choose to birth outside of the hospital. So I think it's an important thing to run, know the different types of midwives, to know what's important to you. There are a lot of people that were like, I will not birth with anyone else but a CNM. That's okay. That's okay. Right. But you have to find what works best for you. Now, earlier I mentioned,
and I think can I add in?
You're fine. Yeah.
It's very important that you're also familiar with the laws in your state surrounding if you're going out of hospital. I feel like I don't want this episode to get to turn into like an home birth episode, right? Like it should be about midwives, all the midwives in all the locations, right?
Yes.
But also know what the laws are in your state and in your specific area about midwives. In Utah, we're really lucky because we have access to all the types of midwives in all the different locations, but not everywhere is like that. Yeah. So yeah, just a little plug in for that.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So I did mention that I didn't really go for midwifery care when I was looking for my VBAC, my original, my Lila, my second. And I don't even know why. Other than in my mind, this is going to sound so bad, but in my mind, I was told midwives are what's undereducated,
Less qualified.
Less qualified to support VBAC. Okay. I was told this by many people out in the world, and I just believed it. And again, I have grown a lot over the years, and it's been so great. And I'm glad that I have.
Well, a lot of people think that, though.
And that's what I wanted to kind of
talk. People don't know.
Yeah.
People just don't know.
No, they don't know. And so I kind of wanted to like just boom. Did you hear it? Can you hear it?
Yeah.
I'm smashing it. That is a myth that is going to be smashed. Midwives are fully capable of supporting you during your VBAC journey. Okay. And we're going to start going over some stats and some things about how midwives really actually do impact VBAC in a positive way. But you may even run into, and at least I know there's some places here in Utah where providers, they kind of oversee the midwifery groups in these hospitals. And a lot of them will say midwives are unable to support VBAC. And so that's another thing that you need to make sure that you're asking if you're going in the hospital and you're birthing with midwives, because a lot of the times you'll be like seeing your midwife and you're treating with your midwife and everything is great. And you've got these relationships with these midwives, and then you go into labor and all of a sudden you have an OB overseeing your care, because the midwife can oversee your pregnancy, but not your birth. And so know that that is a thing. So make sure that if you are birthing in a hospital with a midwife, that you ask, will I be birthing with the midwives, or am I going to be seen by an OB? But also know, like I said, you can be seen in a hospital with a midwife. Okay, so let's talk about some evidence and what midwives bring to the table. And maybe some differences that midwives bring to the table, because I do think that in a lot of ways, it is scary to think, okay, if I have to have a C-section, if, you know, I do not have this VBAC and I have to go to a C-section and I have to be, you know, treated by an OB, because midwives do not perform cesareans. They do assist. Let me just say, a lot of midwives come in and they assist a cesarean, but they do not perform the main cesarean. That can be intimidating because you want your same provider, but I don't necessarily know if that's needed all the time, right? Maybe to someone it is. So, but just know, like, Yes, they cannot perform a cesarean, but they often can assist. And that's another good question to ask your midwife, especially in the hospital. If I go to a cesarean, who will perform it? And will you be there no matter what? But okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the evidence.
Yeah.
Let's talk about experiences and how they can differ.
Well, do you know what is so funny? I kind of want to go back and touch on the, at the beginning where you were saying that you didn't know, you thought midwives were less qualified. And honestly, especially in hospital midwives, I want everyone to like turn your ears on right now. In hospital, midwives have the exact same training and skills to deliver a baby vaginally as an OB does. The difference between a midwife and an OB in a hospital is a midwife cannot do surgery. I just want to like say that very concisely. They are just as qualified. They can even do forcep delivery. They can do episiotomy if episiotomy is necessary. They can do vacuum assist. Well, some hospitals have policies where they will or
Yeah,
will not
some of
allow
them
a midwife to
won't
do forcep or
allow.
vacuum, but they can administer all the different types of medications. They can do like literally everything. They can do everything except for the surgery in hospital. Out of hospital, I would argue that they still have similar training, depending on if they're licensed or not. They may or may not be carrying medications like Pitocin, Methogen, antibiotics, IV fluids, things like that, right? But out of hospital midwives, many of them, at least the licensed ones, carry those things and can provide the same level of care. The only difference between out of hospital, not the only difference, a big difference between out of hospital midwives and in hospital midwives is they don't have immediate access to the
An
OR
OR.
and an OB. But guess what? In states like Utah and many, many states operate similarly, is there are very strict and efficient transfer protocols in place so that when a midwife decides you need a transfer out of hospital, like you're birthing at home, say, first of all, a midwife's going to be with you a big chunk of the time. They're going to be with you. They're going to be noticing things. They're going to be seeing things. They're not going to be there for just the last 10 minutes of delivery like these OBs are. They're going to be in your house. And I feel like out of hospital midwives are more present with you than in hospital midwives, even. And they're going to notice things. They're going to see things. They're going to notice trends a lot of the time before a situation becomes emergent if you need to be transferred. Now, there are those like random last second emergencies, and there are protocols in place for them how to handle those too. But the majority of the time, when there is a transfer needed, you are going to be received at the hospital. The hospital's already going to have your records. They're already going to know what you're coming in for, and they're going to be able to seamlessly take over your care, whatever that looks like there. Now, there are rare emergencies where you might need care within seconds. However, those are incredibly rare, and those are one of the risks, right? Those are one of the risks you got to consider when you're thinking about in-hospital versus out-of-hospital care. But often I've seen many instances where things have safely gotten transferred to a hospital before they reach the level of needing that severe emergent care. And I think that's the biggest thing is that people don't understand. Like I don't know how many people I've talked to, like as a doula and as a birth photographer, where they like don't want to birth at home because they don't understand the level of care that's provided by out of hospital midwives. I'm thinking of a birth I just went to last summer, and she was thinking about home birth, but the husband was like, oh, well, this is like 36 weeks. So like they weren't comfortable transferring or anything like that. But I was like, these home birth midwives are trained in emergencies. They know how to handle all the same obstetric emergencies, exact same ways that they do in hospital. Like they know how to handle them and address them. And if a transfer is necessary, they're going to transfer you. They carry medication. They have stethoscopes and fetal monitors and, everything that they do in hospital to care for you. And the dad was like, oh, like I didn't know that. And it's not just some, it's not your mom coming to help you deliver your baby. It's a trained and qualified medical professional. I wanted to circle back to, I don't know, I saw this quote. Never mind, I'm not circling back. I'm going a completely different direction. I saw this quote or a little meme thing on Facebook the other day, and I was going to send it to you, but I didn't. But it said something like, once your provider and birth location is chosen and locked in place, choice is mostly an illusion.
Wow. Mostly an illusion.
Yes. Like the fact that you have a choice in your care is mostly an illusion. And I was thinking about that and I was like, is it really? Like, I've seen some clients really advocate hard and stuff like that. But I have also seen the majority of clients, like providers, nurses, birth locations, have a heavy sway. And you can be convinced that things are absolutely necessary and needed by the way that you're approached. And if you're approached a different way, then you might make a different choice, right? So the power of the provider and the birth location is so big and massive that choice, the fact that you have a choice involved, is mostly an illusion. And I was sitting with that because I see, and I said it before and I'll say it a million more times before I die probably, that birth photographers and doulas have the most well-rounded view of birth, period. Because we see birth in home, in birth centers, in hospitals, in all the homes, in all the birth centers, with all the different providers. What we know, we can tell you what hospital. There's nurses at one hospital that will swear up, down, and sideways, this is a way to do things. And the next hospital 3 miles down the road is going to do things completely different. And their nurses are going to swear by a different way to do things because of the environment that they're in.
Yeah.
And so if you want to know in your birth area what hospitals are the best for the type of birth that you want, talk to a birth photographer, talk to a doula, because they are going to be the ones with the most well-rounded view.
Yeah, period. We definitely see a lot, you guys. We really do. And remember, if you're looking for a doula, check out the vbacklink.com/find-a-doula. Search a doula in your area. You guys, these doulas are amazing and they are VBAC certified.
We love our partners over at Needed. And I want to take a little break from the show today and talk about their prenatal vitamins. Did you know that a large majority of the prenatal vitamins out in the internet land, in grocery store or health food stores, are not cutting it when it comes to providing the optimal amounts of nutrients? Studies have shown that 95% of pregnant women are left nutritionally depleted. Crazy, right? Our family here at the VBAC Link wants to help bring awareness to get better nutrients before, during, and after your pregnancy. That is why we highly suggest and love what Needed has to offer. Their prenatal vitamins not only have quality vitamins and minerals, but also the optimal amount, which is one of the biggest things that sets them apart from other brands. Their prenatals include ingredients like vitamin B12. Needed provides 200 mcg, whereas most brands have a dose that is very low. They also have 400 milligrams of choline, 4,000 IUs of vitamin D3, and 900 mcg of methylfoliated form of folate, and minerals bound to glycine for best absorption and digestive comfort. Our cute pregnant team members are loving their prenatal vitamins, and you will too. Check them out at thisisneeded.com to get 20% off with code VBAC20 at checkout. Again, that is VBAC20 at checkout. thisisneeded.com.
What are we going to circle back to? You were saying something about...
So I want to talk about... Well, I had that... Yeah, there's an article titled Effectiveness, if I can speak, of midwifery-led care on pregnancy outcomes in low and middle-income countries, which is interesting, right? Because a lot of the times when we're in low and middle-income countries, the support is not good, right? So anyway, they kind of went through, and it said that 10 studies were eligible for inclusion in the systemic review, of which 5 studies were eligible for inclusion in the meta-analysis. Women receiving...
I love meta-analysis. They're my favorite.
I know you do.
The review. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. It says women receiving midwifery-led care had a significantly lower rate of postpartum hemorrhage and reduced rate of birth. How do you say this, Julie? It's like asphyxia...
Asphyxiation? Asphyxia?
Yeah.
A-S-P-H-Y-X-I-A? Asphyxia. Okay.
I just never know how to say that. It says the meta-analysis further showed a significantly reduced risk in emergency cesarean section. Within the conclusion, it did show that, you know, midwifery-led care had significant positive impact on improving various maternal and neonatal outcomes in low and middle-income countries. We therefore advise widespread implementation of midwifery-led care in low and middle-income countries. So it's like, let's beef this up even in low and middle-income countries. But what does that mean if you're not in low, like, you know, like low and middle-income country?
Well, I see the same. There's similar studies showing that in, you know, the United States and all these other bigger countries, larger, more educated, more whatever countries. And it's interesting because, sorry, I have a thought. I'm just trying to put it together.
That is okay.
Midwifery-led care is probably more accessible, and maybe accessible is not the right word, more common probably in lower income countries. I'm thinking third world countries, second world countries, because it's expensive to go to a hospital. It's expensive to have an OB. In some countries like Brazil, the C-section rate is very, very high. It's a sign of wealth and status because you can go to these private hospitals with these luxury birth suites and you know, stay like a VIP, get your C-section, save your vagina, you know, like I use quotes, air quotes, save your vagina by going to this affluent hospital, right? So I think in lower income countries, it's going to be just not only an easier thing to do, but kind of the only thing to do, maybe the only choice. In here, it's funny because here out of hospital birth, first of all, insurance is stupid. Like in the United States, our insurance is so stupid. Yeah. It's a huge money-making organization, medical system is, and insurance does cover a big chunk of hospital births, and they don't cover out of hospital births. So a lot of times out of hospital birth, it's kind of the opposite. You have to have a little bit of money in order to pay for an out-of-hospital midwife because your insurance isn't likely going to cover it. Now, more insurances are kind of coming on board with that, but it'll be a little bit of time before we see that shift. But there are similar outcomes in the United States, in wealthier countries, that midwifery-led care, not just out-of-hospital, but in-hospital midwifery care, has lower rates of cesarean, lower rates of complication, lower rates of induction, lower rates of mortality and morbidity than obstetric-led care. Because you're thinking, like, you're going to a surgeon, you're going to a trained surgeon to have a natural, uncomplicated delivery.
Well, it's interesting because going back to, like, the low income, right? Like, in our minds, like I said in the beginning, like, we think, like, oh, care is not that great. But then we look at it and it's like, care is actually doing they're doing pretty good over there, you know, in these lower income third world countries. So yeah, in the United States, and this is actually an evidence-based birth, it says in the United States, there are typically around 4 million births each year. 4 million, you guys, that's a lot. Crazy. And the majority of these births are attended by physicians, which are only 9% attended by certified nurse midwives or certified midwives, and less than 1% attended by CPM, so the certified professional midwives or traditional midwives. You guys, like, that is insane. That's so low. She says in this podcast of hers, which we're going to make sure to link it because I think it's a really great one, says, now, if you only look at vaginal births, midwives do attend a higher portion of vaginal births in the United States, but still it's only about 14%.
Yeah. If you have a normal, I use normal very loosely, like a normal, uncomplicated pregnancy, there is absolutely no reason that you cannot see a midwife, either out of hospital or in hospital. Now, I would encourage you to go and interview some midwives in your hospital, or in your local hospitals. I would encourage you to look into the local birth community and see what people recommend, because even if you're going in a hospital and have a midwife, you have the same access to the OR and an OB that can take care of you in case of an emergency. And a lot of people are like, well, I'd just rather see an OB just in case of an emergency. So that way I know who's doing my C-section. I promise you that the OB doing your C-section, you're only going to see for an hour. And they're probably not going to talk to you. It doesn't matter how personable they are or what their bedside manner is, or if you know their, you know, I don't know, if you know anything, because you are going to, I promise you, when you're on the operating room table, you're not going to be worried mostly about, you're not going to be worried about who's doing your surgery. You're just not. I'm sorry. That's maybe like a harsh thing to say, but it's going to be the farthest thing from your mind. And plus, in hospital, your midwife is more than likely going to be assisting with the surgery too. So you're going to have a familiar face in the operating room if that happens. And, but also, I feel like everybody knows by now that I am not on board with doing something just in case when it comes to medical care. Just in case things can cause a lot more problems that they're trying to prevent. And so, yeah, anyways, that's my two cents.
Yeah. You know, I really think that when it comes to midwives, there's even more than just reducing things like interventions and cesarean and induction, which of course leads to interventions and things like that. I feel like overall, people leave their birth experience having that better view on the birth mm-hmm. because of things like that, like where you can, their midwives are with you more and they seem to be allowed more time, even with insurance. You guys, insurance, like she said, it sucks. It just sucks. It limits our providers. And I want to just point that out, that like a lot of these OBs, I think that they would spend more time with us. I think they want to spend more time with us in a lot of ways, but they can't because insurance like, pulls them down and makes it so they can't. But these midwives are able to spend so much more time with us in many ways. So, okay, let's see. What else do we want to talk about here? Okay, we talked about interventions. So midwives will typically allow parents to go past that 40-week mark. And we've talked about the ARRIVE trial here in the past, where they started inducing first-time moms at 39 weeks. And unfortunately, it's kind of like stuck in a lot of ways. And so providers are inducing at 39 weeks. And that means we're starting to do things like stripping membranes at 37 and 38 weeks. And it seems like providers really, really, when I say providers, like OBGYNs, they're really wanting babies to be born for sure before 41 weeks. But by 40 weeks, they're really pushing it. And midwives do tend to allow the parents to go past that 40-week mark. And so this is something else that I've noticed with clients who choose VBAC and then end up choosing midwives. They'll often choose midwives because of that reason. And they feel so much better when they're hitting that 39-week in pregnancy because they don't feel that crazy pressure to strip their membranes and go into labor, or they're going to be facing a cesarean and things like that. So I feel like that's another really big way to kind of change the feeling of your care with midwives, is understanding that when it comes down to the end of things, they're going to be a little bit more lenient and understanding and maybe not press as hard. And like we said in the beginning, there are a lot of people that do press it, those midwives, where they're like, no, we need to have a baby. I mean, we just recorded a story not too long ago where the midwife was like, well, you need to see the OB, and oh, well, you need to do a membrane sweep and these things. And they're suggesting these things. But really, typically with midwives, you're gonna see less of that pressure in the end of pregnancy. So midwives spend more time in prenatal visits. We were just talking about that. Insurance can limit OBs, but a lot of the times they'll really spend more time with you. They're going to spend, 20 plus minutes. And if you're out of hospital, oh my gosh, sometimes they spend like a whole hour with you going over things. Where are you mentally? Where are you physically? What are you wanting? Going over the desires for the birth, the plan for the birth, past experiences that may be creeping in, because we know past birth experiences can creep in all along the way. So yeah, okay, Julie's in her car, you guys. She's rocking it with her cute sunglasses.
Yeah.
She's on her way. She is so nice to have the last half hour of her free time spending with us. So Julie, do you have any insight or any extra words on what I was just saying?
You know, I do. I
Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm going to hit
I can
a dead
hear you
spot in like
great.
2 seconds. Okay, perfect. I have this little, there's a spot on my road where like I always cut out. So to stop me if I need to repeat what I said. So I wanted to go back at the beginning and just talk for like half a second, because for my first, we know my first ended in a C-section, right? For my first birth, I actually started out by looking at birth centers because I wanted an out-of-hospital birth. I knew that like from the beginning. And I interviewed a couple of midwives, and there was one group that I was going to go with at a birth center. And I was ready to go, but something didn't quite feel right. And it wasn't anything the midwives did. It wasn't anything that the birth center was. It wasn't that I didn't feel safe there. It just something didn't feel right. So I just stayed with my OBGYN. I had to get on Clomid in order to even get pregnant. I just stayed with that guy, which is the same guy that Megan had and the same guy that did my C-section, because something didn't feel right. I mean, we know now, I can look back in hindsight, this was, gosh, 11 and a half years ago. I know that I ended up having preeclampsia and having to get induced because of it. And had I started out of hospital, I would have had to transfer. Now, there was nothing, I would have had to transfer care before I even got to 37 weeks, right? So I had a 36 week induction, obviously. And this is the thing though. So like out of hospital midwives, there are protocols. Each state has different guidelines a little bit, but there are requirements for when they have to transfer care. If your blood pressure is high, if you have preeclampsia signs, if you deliver before a certain due date or after a certain gestational age, you know, so you're going to be safe. If you have complications in pregnancy, you're going to be safe. You're going to be transferred. You're going to be cared for. But also, I want to say, I just want to put emphasis on this, which is kind of like what I'm tying it in. The last thing I wanted to say, which is going to be forever long, is that you can trust your intuition. My intuition was telling me that birth center was not the right place for me, even though it checked all the boxes, right? And your intuition is not going to be spot on. It's not going to tell the future every time, right? But what I kind of wanted to lead into is that, do you know what is so funny also? So I had 3 out of hospital births after that. For my 4th birth, I started out with the same midwife that I had had for my 2 other home births. And then for some reason, I felt like I needed to transfer care back to the hospital. So I went to the hospital for like 2 months. And then all of a sudden, my insurance changed and the biggest network of hospitals in my state wasn't covered by my insurance anymore. And so it felt right to go back to out of hospital birth. Now, I don't know why I had to do that whole little loop-de-loop of transferring to a hospital just to transfer back to the same out of hospital midwife that I had in the first place. But I believe that there's a purpose to that, right? I believe that there's a purpose to that. And I want to tell you guys, if seeking midwifery care, whether in or out of hospital, feels a little uncomfortable to you, or feels like, oh, I don't know, these midwives still sound like chicken dancing hippies to me, I would encourage you to go and talk to some local midwives, whether in or out of a hospital. Just sit down and talk to them and say, hey, I mean, it's easier to talk to an out-of-hospital midwife. Out-of-hospital midwives do pre-consultations for you. In-hospital midwives, you might have to make an appointment and it might be harder, but you should still try and see and get a vibe, or just transfer care to them and go to a few appointments and see. You can always switch care back to a different provider or an OB, because your intuition is smart, but it does not know, it cannot guide you about things that you don't know anything about. So I would encourage you to go and chat with these different providers, even different OBs if you want, because your provider choice is so, so, so important. It is one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your care for your birth. And it should be a good one. And your intuition can't tell you to go see XYZ provider if you don't know who XYZ provider even is. So yes, gather as much information as you can. Talk to as many providers as you can. Go see the midwife. Interview the doula. Check out the birth photographer's website. See what I did there? And see how it feels. Because even as a birth photographer, like whenever I'm doing interviews with people, I'm not a fly on the wall birth photographer. A lot of birth photographers brag about being fly on the wall. You don't even know I'm there. No, I don't buy that, because who is in your birth space is important. And I am a member of your birth team, just like every other person in that space, just like your nurses, your OB, your midwife, your doula, everybody there is a member of your birth team. And I am a member of your birth team too. And I will hold space for you. I will support you and I will love you. I'm not on the fly on the wall. Now, your provider is a member of your birth team, then probably arguably one of the biggest influencers about how your birth is going to go. And you deserve to be well informed about who they are. You deserve to have multiple options that you know about and have thoroughly vetted. And you deserve to stick up for yourself and choose a provider that is more in line with the type of birth you want. And how do you do that? You do that by finding out more about the providers that are available to you in all of the different birth locations and settings.
Yes. And so I want to talk more about that too, because there are studies and papers out there showing that the attitude on or the view on VBAC in that area, in that hospital, in that birth center, right? Both VBAC midwife or both midwife and OBs, but like we're talking about midwives here, it really impacts the way that a birth can go. And so if you don't interview and you don't research and you don't find those connections and even like try, you will not know. And in the end, it may not be the way you want, right? And even then, even if we find those perfect midwives, like even if Julie went to the hospital midwife, she probably would have had a great experience, but who knows? You know, she had
also arguably too, though, you could be seeing the most highly recommended VBAC provider in your area in the most VBAC supportive hospital in your area that everybody goes to and everybody raves about. And if you don't feel comfortable there for whatever reason, you don't have to see the best, most VBAC supportive provider if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't sit right with you, right? Yes. So it goes both ways.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm really passionate about this, clearly.
No, because it does. I mean, it goes both ways. That's what this podcast is about, is conversation and story sharing and finding what's best for you. Because even with VBAC, like VBAC might not be the right option for you, right? But you don't know unless you learn. So you don't know unless you learn more about midwives. Really, though, people usually come out of midwifery care having a better experience, a more positive experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes, you know, along with the lines of they do have a little bit more care. They do seem to be able to dive deeper into them as an individual and what they're wanting and their desires. They're a little less medical minded and a little more open minded. And again, you're less likely to have interventions. You're less likely to have those things that cause trauma, that cause the cascade that lead to the cesarean. I'm going to have all the links, but I'm just going to like kind of read this highlighted. It's a study from Europe, actually. And it says a recent qualitative study in Europe explored the maternity culture in high and low VBAC countries and found that I'm talking about high and low in countries. Sorry, guys, I'm realizing I'm talking a lot about it, but a lot of these studies talk, you know, they kind of differ. It says that clinicians in the high VBAC countries had a positive and pro VBAC attitude, which encouraged women to choose VBAC. Whereas the countries with low VBAC rates, clinicians helped both pro and anti VBAC views, which negatively affected women who were seeking VBAC. Both of these studies have shown that having midwifery care can have a positive influence on VBAC rates with an increase in maternal and neonatal morbidity. So right there, like, not only doing the research on your provider, but doing the research within your location, what their thoughts are, what their views are, what their, you know, high VBAC attitude or low VBAC attitude. If they're coming at you and they're, even these midwives, you guys, if they're coming at you and they have all these stipulations, might be a red flag. Might not be the right midwifery group for you, right?
Absolutely. And that's where like the intuition comes in, right? Like, I like what you said about the culture, like the VBAC culture. You could tell at different hospitals. We have been to many, many hospitals in our area. Sorry, can you hear my blinkers? It'd be distracting. No. And let's see. So I absolutely guarantee you that every hospital has a culture around VBAC. Some of them are positive and supportive and uplifting, and some of them are fearful and fear-based and operate on a fact where they're going to be more likely to pull you towards a repeat C-section or other interventions. And I encourage you to look into the culture of your hospital, but not only hospitals too. I realize it's not just hospital specific. It is also out of hospital midwives. They all have their own culture around VBAC, and you're out of hospital midwives and you're in hospital midwives, all the midwives, your group, whoever you see, whether you see a solo practice, you see a group OB practice, you see a, you know, group midwifery practice or whatever, there is a culture surrounding VBAC, and you need to do yourself a favor and figure out what that culture is. I got to my appointment and I need to head in. So I'm going to say goodbye really fast. I'm going to leave Megan alone to wrap up the episode. But yes, my parting words, honor your intuition, talk as much to your VBAC provider as you can and find out what the culture is surrounding that, no matter who you choose with. And also do not automatically write off midwives. It would do, you are doing yourself a huge disservice if you are not considering a midwife for your care. Doesn't mean you have to go with one, but I feel like everybody should at least look into them. And I love you guys.
Love bye. You. Bye. Okay. And wrapping up, you guys, I am just going to kind of echo her. I think that completely discrediting midwives without even interviewing them at all is something that is, you know, a disservice to ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, I did that. I did that, you guys. I didn't even consider, because I interviewed like 12 providers, 12 providers, which is kind of crazy. And I didn't interview one midwife, not one. I was interviewing OBs and MFMs and all these things. And I didn't, at least I don't remember interviewing a single midwife. And I the only thing I can think of is that I let the outside world let me believe that midwives were less qualified. So Yale has an article and they say first-time mothers giving birth at medical centers where midwives were on their care team were 74% less likely to have their labor induced. 74% less likely to have their labor induced, 75% less likely to receive Pitocin augmentation, and less 12% less likely to deliver by cesarean, which is kind of a big deal, you guys. Now, I know most of us listening here, we're not first-time moms, right? We've had a cesarean, maybe we've had one, two, three, maybe four. But the stats on midwives, it's there, you guys. It is there, and it's something to not ignore. So if you have not yet checked out midwives in your area, I highly encourage you to do so. Like Julie said, you don't even have to go with anybody, but at least interviewing them to know the feel and the difference of care that you may, you know, be able to have is a big deal. So I highly encourage you. I love you all. I'm so grateful for midwives. I am so grateful for my midwife. My VBAC baby was with a midwife, and I did have an OB. I was one of those that had an OB backup who could care for me and see me if I needed. And that for me made me feel more comfortable, but it's also something that can get confusing. And I think we've talked about this where sometimes you'll do dual care and you'll have one person telling you one thing and the other provider telling you the other thing. And that can get stressful and confusing. And so maybe, you know, just sticking with your provider, but do what's best for you. And again, another message, don't just completely wipe out the idea of a midwife. If you have midwives in your area as an option, it may be something that will just blow your mind. Thank you all so much for listening. And hey, if you have a midwife that you suggest or that you've gone through a VBAC with, we have our VBAC supportive provider, and we would love for you to add to it. So go and check it out in the show notes, or you can go over to our Instagram and click in our link tree, and we have got our provider list there for you. Or if you're looking for that midwife to interview, go check them out. We definitely love adding to this list and love referring it for everyone looking for a VBAC supportive provider.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.